So as we get ready for the Word, God's Word, there's something special about God's Word. Every time we read God's Word, every time we see God's Word, and God's Word is deep. You know, I was amazed, I think I shared this with you, that little ditty, that little children's song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so," which I think sums up everything, to tell you the truth. In that one verse, it sums up everything. But if you ever stop, and I was at a service not too long ago, a funeral service, they played the whole song. If you see the next verse, and the next verse, boy, that song goes pretty deep. It goes a lot deeper than this little children's ditty. Going deep. How do we go deep? You know, these men's, the men's group, they've been talking, a lot of guys at my table, we had like three different tables, they were talking about how do we go deep. And just so coincidentally, and it's not a coincidence, it was already on my heart to talk about going deep. How do we go deep with the Lord? How do we go deep into His Word? How do we go deep into prayer? You know, sometimes when we ask for prayer, we ask for deep prayer. Because it's an urgent situation. It's something that's happening that needs some attention right now. It's something that we need some extra power. It's something that we might even need a miracle for. We need to go really deep now. And sometimes when we're into the Word, it just speaks to us in volumes. And that's why we're looking at, like, what is popping out at you? What words in that verse are striking to you? What is God saying? What is the Holy Spirit trying to show you? How do you go deep? And when we're in prayer, sometimes we go deep in prayer, and we can feel a whole spiritual revelation coming upon us. And sometimes in worship, many times here in worship, I can feel how we're going deep with the Lord. So how do we go deep? I'm here to tell you there's a myriad of ways to go deep. It's as simple as when you're going down the expressway, you see a billboard, and you get this little nudge that God's trying to tell you something, even though it's some advertisement up there. Just listen and ask a few questions of, what are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you, The question of what are you trying to tell me helps you to go deep every time. Because God is always about revelation. He's always revealing His Word. He reveals His Word through another individual coming up to you and talking to you. He reveals His Word. I can tell you, some points where I had a coincidence happen like six different times in the same week. And I mean, the people in Vegas want to take the odds, because, you know, and like it's the exact same verse six different times and six different sources in one week. That's how many, like once a day, the same verse. On the radio, it comes up. And then I'm reading this secular book and it comes up. And then I'm at this conference and this person comes up and tells me the same word. And then I hear it again on the radio on a different program. What are the odds of that happening? And then finally, I come back to our church at the time, and I tell people, like, this is what's been happening, and they all look at me like I came from Mars or something, like I got two heads or something. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's kind of weird, isn't it, that five different times that this came up. And they said, no, Tom, you don't understand. They just got done talking about that exact verse and service while you were gone this week. God is always speaking to us. And He is always helping us go deep. Because you know what the secret is? Is that anytime you approach God, you're going deep. I'm going to say that again. Anytime we approach God, we are going deep. You don't have to have a lot of effort to do this. So let's look at what Peter has to say. Remember who Peter is. Peter is a guy who he's walked with Jesus. Peter is a guy who is just a fisherman, and he just drops everything and just goes running and follows Jesus. Peter's the guy that has walked with him for 3 odd years. Peter's the guy that has denied him. Peter is the guy that has come back and been reinstituted. Peter is the guy who's shouting in the streets that you crucified the King of Kings, even though that they might throw him in jail and he didn't care. All of a sudden he is bold when he just got done denying him a few weeks before. Peter is your absolute mode of transformation. He is a changed man. And he's trying to help the church transform themselves. Verse 1. Actually, verse 11. This is so curious. I've been looking at this all week. I even went into some commentaries and tried to see what other people had to say, because I know what God was telling me. Maybe you can come up with Peter, what Peter's talking about here. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. The end of all things. What does that mean? The end of all things. I think of the earth just blowing up and everything gone. The end of all things, though, is more than just the earth. It's all the universe. It's all the stars, all the planets. The end of all things is everything spiritual. The end of all things. I mean, we're going to go literal here. The end of all things, Peter warns, this is a warning, is near. Now, near might mean tomorrow. Near might mean in 10 years. Near might mean in 1,000 years. 1,000 years as our day to our Lord. The end of all things is coming. And so I started thinking about this, and what does that mean? The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. There's actually a direction here. There's actually an instruction here. There is a warning. The end of all things is here. It's near. So you better be alert. You better have a sober mind. You better be thinking straight. And the reason for you to do that is so that you can pray. The power of prayer. We see it in this church over and over and over again. 100% healing, 100% restoration. The end of all things is near. Let me tell you what that means in my heart. It means that I could die tomorrow. And for me, the end is here. Not just near. Jesus could come back tomorrow. And everything's going to change. Everything's going to be a different ballgame altogether. So the end of all things is near means either I'm going to go or Jesus is going to come. And I just had somebody in our men's group talk to me about, you know, was sharing with us that, you know, they were witnessing to this person and then this person died a few days later. And I had the same thing happen to me. We were having a Bible study at my old church. And this guy comes in, and he was just invited by another friend. We never met this guy before. And he was a professed atheist. He didn't believe in Jesus or God. And we started talking about, I was talking about eternity. I just so happened to be talking about eternity that day. Not a coincidence. And I was talking about how eternity goes forever in that direction, and forever in that direction. And our lifetime is like this little mark on the line. So in other words, our lifetime is very, very small compared to how far eternity goes in both directions. Well, this guy happened to be like an engineer kind of guy. And I get that. I kind of got that engineering mind as well. And he said, "Hey, Pastor, you know that line you're talking about, I don't think it's like a pencil line. I think it's more like a micrometer, which means a millionth of an inch. Like you need these special instruments." Mike is nodding his head. He knows what I'm talking about. He deals with that all the time. It's a millionth of an inch, and you have to use a special instrument to even measure it. So he got the idea. He got the concept. And then this we went into service, and it was just really put on my heart. This guy is ready. And then our pastor at the time gave a call to the altar. We don't always give a call to the altar. Actually, we give it every few months or so. But just so happened that day, we gave a call to the altar. And this guy in his seat gave his life. And we know that because the person who brought him to the church later that day later told us in the week that that's what happened. And I felt it. And so then our pastor, we both were talking about, hey, he accepted the Lord today. We didn't even have a confirmation. We just knew it. That guy died 3 days later. And that person that brought him to the church told us that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You don't know when it's going to happen. It could be tomorrow. Jesus could come tomorrow. The end of all things, and as far as we're concerned, the end of all things, when we die, that's going to be the end of all things as far as this here worldly living. It's not going to be the end of all things as far as on the spiritual level, but it will certainly be as far as our life. And when Jesus comes, you better believe it's going to be the end of all the things as we know them. So the end of all things as we know them is near. Therefore, be alert. You know, people get into this, like, you know, Jesus is coming on June 21st. Sell all your property. Get ready. He's coming June 21st, 2025. I can put it out into the internet, and when all these people would get into a frenzy. And we've done that over and over and over again. Except for, you know, when they do that, they're not reading scripture. They're not going deep enough. Because Jesus said, you won't know the day or time. Nobody knows. But what he does say is be ready. So I think Peter's saying the same thing. Therefore, be alert. Be of sober mind, meaning you're thinking things straight, that you may pray. Pray for all those people who are not ready. Pray that you are ready. Pray that the church is helping other people get ready. Pray that this world is ready. And God's timing is going to happen, and we need to be ready. Continuing. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Boy, is that ever true. You know, I think the best example is a parent with a child. They can do just about anything to you, can't they? They can put you through anything, and you still love them. They can put you through all kinds of, and this is the thing I learned as a parent, they can put you through all kinds of worry and concern and trying to give them guidance and trying to help them and trying to give them some financial help and trying to give them some spiritual help and trying to give them some sense. And we also always kind of flash back to when we were teens and we didn't listen to anybody, did we? I know I didn't. And we keep thinking, like, they're going to listen to us, though, even though I didn't listen to anybody. And lo and behold, they do to a degree. And all we want to do, even if Mike's shaking his head, no. And all we're trying to do is save them from the hassle and the trouble that we already have been there, done that. You don't want to drink and drive. You don't want to smash up cars. It's going to turn out bad. Above all. In all the madness, in all this world, in all the relationships, above everything else, love each other deeply. Boy, I gotta tell you, the people in this church love deeply. I'm always amazed at the care and the love from the people of this church. I'm always amazed at the care and the love they give me personally. I'm amazed at the love they give each other. I think of when Alex was in here and Alex needed some furniture. Man, this church just came to the plate and filled that place with furniture and took care of the moving costs and made sure she had everything she needed. This church always comes to the rescue of those who need it. And more importantly, this church is always never forgetting to tell people where that source is coming from. It's coming from God. It's coming from Jesus. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. It's not coming from us. We love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. In other words, it covers over a whole bunch of forgiveness, a whole bunch of stuff people do to us, a whole bunch of missteps or miscommunication, or when people say something harsh or kind of silly, or without thinking, when they're not alert and they're not sober-minded, continuing. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay, now we're going to get real, okay? How many of us ever grumble? They just did that, and those kids, I am so guilty of this. I am working on it. And this passage just spoke to my heart. I mean, because it is so futile. It is so unnecessary. And it gets us nowhere fast. All it does is make us more and more upset, doesn't it? Just, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? And we never look at ourselves. We never look at the part we played in it. They just did this and they just did that, And I gotta tell you, and a lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of times I'm grumbling and nobody's even hearing it. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I'm going to go a little bit further. It's not just hospitality. Offer your lives. Offer your love. Offer everything without grumbling. Grumbling doesn't work. It doesn't help. And it only hurts one person. It hurts the person grumbling. Nobody else is even hearing you. It's crazy if you really think about it. Continuing. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So I highlighted here in blue, serve and stewards. Serve and stewards. Serve and stewards. Because they go together. When we serve, we are acting as a steward. A steward is someone who takes care of things. I think of Roman in this church. Roman is a steward of this church. Roman got up there, man. I gotta tell you, I came in here, and the first thing Roman did is, hey, I want to show you something. And he gets over, shows me this bucket. And this bucket doesn't even have a weight on it. This is how crazy this is. I mean, usually there's a weight, like 50 pounds or something. He says, pick that up. So I pick it up. I get about this far, and it's like, whoa, this thing's at least 50, if not 65 pounds. And so I put it back down. He said, we took four buckets like that up on the roof. He said, I took one up. I started going up by myself. Then I got some help. My brother, Frank, we love Frank, he brought one up. And then Mike brought one up. And then we kind of finally figured it out. We took two ladders and brought them next to each other. We both took one handle, man, that partnership thing. And then we brought up the fourth bucket up there. And then they paved up this whole roof up there. And I think we're not going to have any more water leakage, but he is a steward of this church. And he makes sure that this place is running. He makes sure this place is taken care of. And I mean, he's not the only one, but I point to Roman because it always falls on his shoulders. He just always says, hey, Roman, I got to talk to you about something. Yes, Pastor Tom. And off we go. And every time. So he is a steward, but we are stewards of this planet. You know, we get into this whole earth kick and this environmental kick. Well, we are stewards of this planet. We ought to be concerned about the environment. We ought to be concerned about the earth because we have been put in charge of this place, at least Adam and Eve were, and we need to take care of this place because we know what happens when we don't take care of something. It just starts deteriorating, and then we got a bigger hassle of trying to fix something that's already been torn up because of time. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. We have gifts. Did you know you have a gift? Did you know you have multiple gifts? So maybe your gift is wisdom. Maybe you can impart some wisdom on those kids if they listen. Maybe your gift is hospitality. Hospitality is such an amazing gift. It's a hard gift. It means you're serving people. It means you're opening up your home. It means you're going to that nursing home. It means that you're there for other people, that you're giving of your time and your talents and of your effort. We are faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Continuing, we're going to look at what those forms are. If anyone speaks, oh, I want us to hear this. If anyone speaks, anytime we talk, anytime a word comes out of our mouth, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Did you know you were speaking the word of God? Not just when you're quoting the scripture, did you know you're speaking the word of God every day with every word that you speak? Did you know that words are powerful? Not just because they have meaning and we interpret what they mean and they get hurt or help, there is that, but words are powerful. They have a supernatural ability in them, especially when you're talking about the word of God. Especially when you're talking about scripture. That's what we teach people over and over, is go share some scripture with somebody and see how that scripture is speaking into their lives. We are speaking the word of God here. And we don't always have to quote scripture to do it. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I want to take this apart a little bit. So first of all, when we speak, we are speaking the word of God. We were in embodying the Spirit of God and speaking out the Spirit to other people. And if we serve, when we're helping somebody, we have that strength that only God can give us. Because I'll talk to the helpers here. I'll talk to the people, the caregivers here. When you're helping somebody, you get to your end. I'll talk to the parents here. As you're trying to talk to your kids and they're not listening and you're at your wit's end. As you get that phone call from the police and they've got themselves in trouble, you're at your wit's end. And you gotta find some little bit more strength. I'll talk to the moms here. When you've got everything going on and you gotta go to work, you gotta take care of the kids, you gotta get everything else done, and you don't have any more time, and you still got more stuff to do. You need a little strength. You need a supernatural strength. You need a little boost as the men go to work and try to have enough money for the family and make sure all the bills are met and everything else. You got to have some strength here. And you need some supernatural strength. So when we serve, and everything we do, mind you, everything we do, we serve God. Everything we do, everything, every work that we go to, we serve God. I had my friend Sharon. Sharon's so funny. Sharon is so bold. She would actually go up to the TV20, the general manager, and tell the general manager that you're not my boss. That he's my boss. It was no disrespect. I will give you all the respect. You're the boss of the company. And I serve this company, and I will work for this company, and I will give you 125%. But my boss is him. And don't make any mistake about it, that's who my boss is. And I love Sharon, man. Sharon is bold. And it was received with grace. And it was received with honor. And that the GM of the company had no issue with her saying that. She knew who she served. And God gives us strength to serve. And all of it, and that's where I want to take that, the very words we speak and then all the services that we do, all of this is so that we may praise Jesus. We praise Jesus. We praise Jesus when we're singing in here, don't we? Woo! We praise Jesus when we're singing in here. I love our praise team. I get lost in it. I just get lost and I just, it preps me for doing this. More than any prep I do all week long, that preps me for coming up here and speaking. Because that fills me with the Holy Spirit and puts me in that place so that we can praise Jesus. Because Jesus created all of this. Everything finds its purpose in Him. And in those end times that we talked about, it either I'll die or He'll come, but it's Jesus. And all glory and all honor go to the Father through the Son with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's how that Trinity thing is working out. So what do we do with all this? And what does this have to do with going deep? Well, what it has to do is use what you got. You don't have to worry about, do I have this gift or that gift? You can get all caught up in speaking in tongues, and I don't know what to tell you about that. I can't do it. But they get caught up in having different gifts, and, oh, I wish I had wisdom, but this person is like the most amazing helper I've ever seen in my life, and boy, do we need helpers. They have hospitality down pat. I know some people, man, when they do hospitality, they set the stage, they set the bar. So go use your gift. And if you don't know what your gift is, just pray a little bit. God will reveal it. We did a test here, a passions test. What do you like to do? What do you want to do? What gets you revved up? What gets you energized? That's your passion. And then God has gifted you with some abilities, some spiritual abilities of wisdom, of music, of praising, of hospitality. There's a whole list of gifts which we can get into. But go use your gift. Everybody has a gift or multiple gifts. And your gifts change. And they change according to your need. I look at Melissa back here right now, and your gift is an advocate. You're a defender. You're coming in there for your family, and I'm going to take care of you. You're a covering over that family. And so God gifts us, and He also gifts us for whatever the circumstance is at the time. And He gives us extra strength in that area. And we're fluctuating gifts. And especially when we go talk to another person. Then He really gets us. Because we are so deeply, going to talk about going deep, we are so deeply in His will as we are sharing with somebody else. You know, Mary's got a shirt about Jesus. What does it say? You're just wearing it yesterday.
Oh,
God Jesus. So I'll tell you another thing I love about this men's group is they all come in t-shirts. I got to get me some of these shirts. And they got these amazing t-shirts, like, it says on the back of it, God has got my back. How cool is that? I want one of those. What can I pray about for you? Or what can I pray for you? Wow, is that ever an opening to a conversation as people see that? I've seen people with caps that say, I'm a man of God. And I just want to talk to them about, how are you a man of God? What's going on with that? And these are all conversation starters. So as we wear it on our sleeve, on our back, on our chest, we are giving out that we have a gift. We have something to share. We have some Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank You that You impart us with the gift of Your Son. We thank You that You impart us with the gift of Your Son, not just for our salvation. We give You amazing things, and we are prepared. We are ready for that day when we pass or when Jesus comes again. We are ready. We are prepared. We thank You for that gift, but we also thank You that we have the gift of Him in us, of Him in us, of the Holy Spirit in us, of that perfect patience, that perfect forgiveness, that perfect joy, that perfect love, that perfect kindness, that perfect long-suffering when times get hard, that perfect self-control. We thank You that we have the gift of Your Son in us. And we thank You that we can impart that gift on another. May You give us the strength. May You give us the opportunity. May You put us in Your will to share Your word. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.
As you are,
it's my joy to honor you. I'll tell you, these lyrics, they just take on new life if you let them. These scriptures, they take on new life if you ask a few questions. It's my joy to honor you. Boy, let's live by that this week. Let's have some joy in our own lives because we're honoring Jesus. Let's have some joy in our lives because we're honoring God the Father. Let's have some joy because we're honoring the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And then let us go and do whatever, you know, and all I do, I honor. Look how he does this. Is it just me, or does that fit like a glove of what we just got done talking about? And he's been doing this for years. Over and over again, these closing verses fit like a glove. It's my joy to honor you. That's what we just got done talking about. And all I do, all the gifts I have, all the ways I serve, God is speaking to us in volumes right now. Go honor him. In all you do, let's pray. Dear Father God, it is our joy to honor you. It is our joy to praise you. It is our joy to share you. It is our joy inside of us to have this gift of you, dear Lord Jesus. We ask that we can go share you, and that we can just go and be strengthened by you. That we can be the man or woman of God that you called us to be, knowing that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and our Lord Jesus all around us, and our dear Father God looking out after us. We thank you, dear Father God. We are dismissed to love and serve our Lord Jesus. This week, go and honor our Father.